Lecture topic, extracts from the life of Prophet David, peace be upon him.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu was-salamu ala al-mab'uthi rahmatan lil'alameen. Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man walahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. Faqad qala jalla wa ala fi kitabihil majid wal furqanil hamid. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. وما كنت تتلو من قبله من كتاب ولا تخطه بيمينك إذا لارتاب المبطلون بل هو آيات بينات في صدور الذين أوتوا العلم وما يجحد بآياتنا إلا الظالمون وقال تعالى يا داود إنا جعلناك خليفة في الأرض فاحكم بين الناس بالحق ولا تتبع الهوى فيضلك عن سبيل الله إن الذين يضلون عن سبيل الله لهم عذاب شديد بما نسوا يوم الحساب وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام أحب الصيام إلى الله صوم داود أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, Allah Rabbul Izzat has referred to the galaxy of Anbiya in the Quran as the noblest and the choicest creation that He has ever created. At times Allah referred to them by saying, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهُ فَبِهُدَاهُ مُقْتَدِي. These are my guided ones, follow them and you will be well on your way. At times Allah said, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ. I have favored them and I have selected them and I have privileged them. At times Allah said, إِنَّا أَخْلَصْنَاهُمْ بِخَالِصَةٍ ذِكْرَ الدَّارِ. Their hearts are exclusively focused on Akhirah. Allah made reference to Ibrahim, Ishaq and Yaqub in the Quran. وَذْكُرْ عِبَادَنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ أُولِي الْأَيْدِي وَالْأَبْصَارِ. Allah said, Ibrahim, Ishaq and Yaqub, they had hands and eyes. This is something to reflect over. They were humans who had hands and eyes. أُولِي الْأَيْدِي وَالْأَبْصَارِ. In the tafasir it is written, amongst many other commentaries given, one explanation is, they used these limbs of their body objectively and hence Allah considered them as those that possessed it. Otherwise, if the eye is not used correctly, then the sighted and the blind are equal to Allah. They used their hands for the purpose of which Allah created it. So really speaking, if we will study the lives of Anbiya alayhimus salam and we will navigate our way through the lives of the prophets, then and then only will we see prosperity in our life. Today briefly I want to speak a little on the life of Dawood alayhi salatu was salam and definitely tie it up to this auspicious occasion. Words cannot really do justice to the happiness, to the jubilation. I was reading the other day of Sayyidul Fuqaha, Ra'isul Mujtahideen, Imamun al-A'zam, Nu'man ibn Thabit, Aba Hanifa rahimahumullah, when his son memorized the Surah Fatiha as a token of joy and acknowledgement, Imam Abu Hanifa gave the child's ustad 500 dirhams in a time when the value of one sheep was one dirham. When he had memorized the Surah Fatiha, you know, Shaykhul Quran, Mawlana Abrar Sahib rahimahumullah said that the Quran commenced with Ba, Bismillah, and it ended with Seen, which is in essence Bas. That if you really implement what is covered in this Quran from the Ba to Nas to that scene, then honestly it is sufficient for your guidance. So really speaking, this is the honor and this is the joy and the privilege that Allah has afforded them. So I want to first speak a little about the life of Dawood alayhi salam and definitely tie it up to this occasion so that it provides us all with some form of direction. We've come here, some of us because it's a relative, others because it's a neighbor, others because it's a friend, and some of us it's our own children. But really the object of this get-together is that hopefully it leaves every one of us motivated and our bond with Allah is increased and it is strengthened. I often say that if a person goes through a crisis in his life and he goes through a difficulty, but the result of that crisis is that it strengthens him with Allah, then really consider what you got greater than what you lost. If it took the loss of a job, if it took a difficulty, today I was reading in Ibn Kathir, when Ikrama ibn Abi Jahl, at the conquest of Makkah, when he boarded the boat and he decided to leave, because either you had to accept Islam or you had to flee for safety, There was one of two options at the conquest of Makkah. Many of the Arabs said, the day Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam conquers Makkah, now Islam will dominate over the Arab region. So either you follow his religion and you accept, or then you flee from Makkah. But Makkah will no longer be conducive for the infidel. So he was amongst those that decided to flee from Makkah. And in the Hashya of Jalalain, the whole riwayat is mentioned under the commentary of this ayah. وَإِذَا غَشِيَهُمْ مَوْجٌ كَالظُّلَلِ دَعَوُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ فَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدٌ. So anyway, as he boarded the boat and they were sailing, there came a storm. And he said, Allah, I turn to that divine being. If you are the correct being and you take me to shore, then I will definitely bring iman on you. So he was engulfed in a crisis. He was surrounded in death, in difficulties. And Allah then granted him deliverance and brought him to shore. And it was regarding his likes that the verse was revealed, فَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدٌ. That Allah says, when man is in desperation, then he turns to Allah and he begs Allah and he pleads before Allah. But when Allah grants him deliverance from his crisis, then most of men are those who revert to their old practices. However, there is a fraction who honor the proclamation that they made with Allah in their crisis, the likes of Ikrama radiallahu anhu. And then we know he became a very, very great sahabi. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting with his sahaba. He was informed through divine revelation that Ikrama will be coming. Look at his teachings, if only we can implement it. He said, يَأْتِيكُمْ عِكْرَمَةُ مُؤْمِنًا فَلَا تَسُبُّوا أَبَاهُ فَإِنَّ سَبَّ الْمَيِّتِ يُؤْذِي الْحَيِّ وَلَا يَبْلُغُ الْمَيِّتِ. Listen, O my Sahaba, soon Ikrama will be making a presence here, forgetting not that Ikrama's father was Abu Jahl, who left no stone unturned in opposing the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ikrama will be coming as a believer shortly. Don't taunt his father, don't insult his father. Insulting the deceased offends the living. Ikrama came, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood up, and then he made dua for him. Allahumma ighfir lahu ma nala minni min ghirdin fi wajhi aw ana ghaibun anhu. Oh Allah, you forgive Ikrama every time he insulted me in my presence or in my absence. When he heard this, he stood up, he hugged the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he accepted Islam. So what I'm saying is, our get together is here that it motivates us and it brings us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the real reason that we have this get together. Anyway, I said I wanted to speak about the life of Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam. He was a great Nabi from the galaxy of Anbiya. As Muslims, we believe that Allah has given priority to certain prophets over others. Tilka ar-rusul faddalna ba'dahum ala ba'd. The opening verses of the third juz, we've given superiority to certain prophets over others. وَلَقَدْ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَ النَّبِيِّينَ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ وَآتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ الزَّبُورَ. We have made certain prophets superior to others and we've privileged Dawood with the Zabur. According to one riwayat in Sirat al-Anbiya, when Allah created Adam, then Allah extracted all his children from his back and Allah presented it before Sayyidina Adam. He looked at one child and there was a very bright glow and radiant light. So he asked Allah, Allah, who is this? So Allah said, this is one of your offspring that will come years after you. His name is Dawood. So Adam alayhi salam, as a kind gesture, said, Allah, would it be accepted if I contribute 40 years of my life to this child of mine? So Allah said, by all means, if you wish to contribute this, it will be accepted. So this was accepted, that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam contributed 40 years of his life to Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam. The riwayat then goes on, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, Adam came in this earth, and then his lifespan ended, and the angel came to remove his soul. So he interjected and he told the angel, but I was told that I would still live for another 4 decades. So the angel reminded him that yes, that was your initial lifespan, but you by your own choice decided to give 40 years to your son. So that's the time Adam alayhi salatu wasalam recalled. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went on to say that Adam forgot, hence his children continue to forget. Adam forgot, hence his children continue to forget. Let me digress by saying, brothers, while every parent and every father is desirous that my child and my offspring remain unaware of my evils, and I wish to camouflage and disguise my vices and impress upon them my good, but we know that reality, one father told me this year and I really take it to heart. He says, Maulana, I have seen, Allah blessed me with 5 children, and I have seen all my good and my bad distributed in my children. Then he said, there is a good news and there is a bad news. Those children who took my good, they surpassed me in my good. And unfortunately, those who took my ill, they went worse than me in my sin. You know, in English they say, those that come after you will be better than you or worse than you because of you. Those that come after you will be better than you or worse than you because of you. That's the pattern of life. So the Prophet ﷺ said, Adam forgot, his children continue to forget. Then according to the riwayat of Bukhari, mention was made of Dawud alayhi salam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Kana a'bad al-bashar, he worshipped Allah the most. Then we know Allah favored Dawud alayhi salatu wa sallam with such a voice that Allah privileged us with entry into Jannah. Amongst the highlights of Jannah will be that Dawud will recite the Zabur. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by Abu Musa Ash'ari and heard him reciting the Quran in a melodious voice, he said, لَقَدْ أُوْتِيْتَ مِزْمَارًا مِمْ مَزَامِيرِ آلِ دَاوُود. You have been favored with the melodious voice of my late brother Dawud alayhi salam. When you look at Dawud, he had a promising talent. Prior to his prophethood, when he was in the battle with Jalut, and he was responsible, وَقَتَلَ دَاوُودُ جَالُوتَ and he killed, وَقَتَلَ دَاوُودُ جَالُوتَ he killed Jalut. He was with Jalut and he killed, in the battle as a young boy, the promising talent that Allah had given him. He killed this great tyrant king. And this was way before his prophethood. So there was a bright future in this child in his very initial stages. Now, also when you study the lives of the prophets in Bani Israel, then prior to Dawud, generally, prophets belonged to one family and kingdom belonged to one. Dawud was the first Nabi who was blessed with both. He was the Nabi of the time and he was the king of the time. So he had the best of both. And this is really the beauty of Islam. There is no contradiction. There is harmony if we study other sciences in relation to the deen that Allah has given us. Unfortunately, we are facing a crisis that we have become complacent in our skills and in our art. If you study, then so many skills and so many arts were divinely taught to Anbiya by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, the origin of mathematics dates back to that of Idris alayhi salam. The beginning of sewing clothing dates back to that of Idris alayhi salatu wa salam. And many arts were taught to Idris alayhi salatu wasalam. One dua of Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam. It is mentioned in Tanbihul Ghafilin that the dua that he used to make daily to Allah, Allah, I ask from you four things and I ask protection against four. Listen to this dua and really it is the best of both the worlds. He said, Allah, I ask from you lisan al zakira, a tongue that can remember you perpetually. Qalban shakira, a heart that is full of your gratitude. Dawud asked Allah, كَيْفَ أَشْكُرُكَ وَشُكْرِي لَكَ نِعْمَةً O my Lord, how can I be grateful to you when my gratitude is also a bounty from you? So I am indebted to you in being grateful to you. Allah said, الآن شَكَرْتَنِي يَا Dawud. O Dawud, when you've exhausted all the measures and you've confessed that you've failed, you have now really been grateful. When you've exhausted all the measures and you've confessed that you have not done justice, then that is really being grateful to me. Qalban shakira, a heart that is full of gratitude. Badanan sabira, a body that can persevere for your deen. And zawjatan tu'inuni fi dunyaya wa akhirati, favor me with a partner that makes my stay on earth a pleasure and makes my stay in akhirat also a pleasure. Wa a'udhu bika min arba'atin, and O my Lord, I seek thy divine protection from four. Min malin yakunu alayya wabala, Allah, I love wealth and favor me with wealth, but save me from wealth that distance me from you. Allah, save me from wealth that takes me away, which is the cause of my destruction. It is something to reflect. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Allah for health and wealth, but with conditions attached. Allahumma inni as'aluka. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Oh Allah, I ask from you health that doesn't make me unmindful. And ghinan la yutghini. Wa sihhatan la tulhini. Wealth that doesn't make me rebel. Health that doesn't make me negligent. Allah, save me from wealth that distance me from you. وَمِنْ وَلَدٍ يَكُونُ عَلَيَّ سَيِّدًا Allah, save me from children that dominate over me. Allah, save me from offspring that govern me, O Allah. وَمِنْ جَارٍ لَوْ رَآ مِنِّي حَسَنَةً كَتَمَهَا وَلَوْ رَآ مِنِّي سَيِّئَةً فَشَاهَا Allah, let me not live next to a neighbor who when he sees my good, he conceals it. When he sees my evil, he broadcasts it. Before we make dua to Allah to save us from such a neighbor and such a child, let us ask ourselves, am I not such a son to my father? Am I not such a neighbor to my fellow neighbor? Hasan Basri said, kindness to your neighbor is not to shower him with gifts, but to be patient on his ill manners. That is kindness to your neighbor. وَمِنْ زَوْجَةٍ تُسَيِّبُنِي قَبْلَ وَقْتِ الْمَشِيرِ. And oh Allah, save me from a partner and a spouse that makes me age before my time. Really, if we reflect over this, and this becomes our aspiration, then you will know we need nothing more other than this. And if we lack this, we have nothing. So this was just a dua in the life of Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam. Then something noteworthy in the life of Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam. As I mentioned, he was the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was the king. He had the best of both the worlds. Allah referred to him in the Quran and Allah said, Ni'mal abd, he was a great servant. Allah said, Dhal aidi, he was a person with power. Allah spoke of him in 9 chapters, 16 times in the Quran. Yet categorically it is documented in the books that routinely, religiously, Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam used to disguise himself, blend himself in the masses, camouflage his appearance, and then he used to move amongst the ordinary people, and then he used to go to them and tell them, tell me, what's your opinion about Dawud? In doing so, he wanted to find out his own weaknesses so that he could improve himself. I ask you, what did he lack when he was the prophet and the king, yet he routinely took out time. He took out time to see how he can improve himself. So he would blend amongst the masses and go and ask the people. So one day as he was going, blended himself and moving amongst the ordinary general people, and what's your opinion? No, Dawud is a great man. Dawud is a great man. Unfortunately, our condition has become such that today if I stand up and I tell you, you know what, my brother, there are grave consequences if your trouser is below your ankle. Then before you look at your trouser, you look at mine. That's the immediate reaction, and perhaps you will level an argument with me, and maybe you'll silence me in the argument, but the sad reality is because I will not reflect over my own wrong, I will silence that man, but in the end I won't learn, and I will live and die with that sin. What I'm saying is there is a definite need that we look at measures to better ourselves. The effort to improve ourselves is unending. The other day I read a nice quotation with regards to health. Someone made a remark, beautiful quotation, he who will not find time for exercises will soon have to take out time for sicknesses. He who will not find time for physical fitness will soon have to find time for sicknesses. The very same way, if we will not take out time to improve ourselves, to better ourselves, Dawud blends amongst the masses. He asks someone, what's your opinion? Allah sends an angel in a disguised form. The angel comes to him and he says, you know what? Dawud is a brilliant man, but just one thing, he draws some funds from the national treasury. If perhaps he had some independent income, that would have made him so much better a human being. When he heard this, it struck him. Oh, who are you to tell me? I'm the Amir, I'm the... You know, after all, no. He was out to learn, so when he was told, he took it with a smile. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, نِعْمَ الرَّجُلُ خُرَيْمُ الْأَسَدِ لَوْلَا تُولُ جُمَّتِهِ وَإِسْبَالُ إِزَارِهِ. That Khuraym Asadi, he's such a nice human being. Just two things, man, that hair is too long and the trouser is too low. Now he didn't say, only two things wrong. Only we will look at others, they've got 22 things wrong. Only two things after all, I mean, we all are humans. No. فَبَلَغَ ذَلِكَ خُرَيْمًا. Khuraym heard. Immediately he cut his hair till his ear low. And he lifted his trouser ila ansafi saqain, to the mud of his calf. You know, I mentioned that many of us latch onto the concession provided to Abu Bakr by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when Abu Bakr said, my trouser tends to fall below my ankle, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, innaka lasta mimman yaf'aluhu khuyala. You're not amongst those who do that as a gesture of pride. Now many of us latch onto this concession and we keep our trouser below our ankle, claiming to say that we don't do it out of pride. But what a deception from the devil. Abu Bakr did not exempt himself. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Abu Bakr, you don't have pride. I'm telling myself I don't have pride. Isn't that pride itself? No, I'm not proud. Well, you can be humble in your tone also, but that is pride. Why? What is pride? The Prophet ﷺ said, Al-kibru batrul haq. If you deny the truth, you are proud even if you're gentle in that denial. Even if you're polite in that denial, you are proud, because the Prophet ﷺ said, the definition of pride is the denial of truth. And someone has written, what is pride? Considering yourself capable of what Allah has given you, then you are proud. I ask you, my brother, you look in your life. And my sister, your son has completed Quran. You look in your life. I will look in my life and I can tell you, I do not deserve sitting here. You look in your life and I'm sure you will echo my sentiments. I doubt you deserve the privilege of being given the crown by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and having this child as a hafiz that you witness this day of glory, when Allah told His Nabi, وَمَا كُنْتَ تَرْجُوْ أَيُّ الْقَى إِلَيْكَ الْكِتَابُ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً مِّن رَبِّكَ فَلَا تَكُونَنَّ ظَهِيرًا لِلْكَافِرِينَ. After this verse, nobody can say, I deserve it. Allah told His Nabi, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it was not in your wildest of thoughts. It was not in your furthest of imaginations. It was not in your remote thoughts that you will be made my noblest creation and this Quran will come to you. But it was my sheer mercy that my selection came to you. إِلَّا رَحْمَةً مِّن رَبِّكَ, that the selection of Allah came to you. So pride is that I deserve it. Undoubtedly we do not deserve this. On the contrary, we deserve the opposite. It's His mercy. He hasn't looked at us. And hence He's privileged us with this day. We ask Allah that just as Allah, you created from the back of Azar Ibrahim, who was your friend. Allah, really we are those wicked fathers, Allah. We are those nasty fathers. You have blessed us with children like this, Allah. Allah, don't judge our children because of our wrong. So Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam meets this angel. The only person who we can say categorically in this earth never had pride was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yet not once can it be mentioned that his garment was flowing below his ankle. The only person with certainty we can say did not have pride was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yet not once did his trouser was flowing below his ankle. So I was speaking of Khuraym Asadi. When he was told, immediately he cut his hair to the mid of his ears and he lifted his trouser ila ansafi saqi, to the mid of his calf. Anyway, Dawood alayhi salam met this person, and when he told him that this is your problem, this is your weakness, immediately he cried to Allah. He said, Allah, teach me something that I become financially independent and I don't have to draw wealth and I don't have to draw an income from the national treasury. So when he was out to learn, then Allah guided him to not a mistake, but something that just made a better human out of him. Something that was a bonus in his life. Otherwise, as a Nabi and the Khalifa, he was entitled to draw funds. And we know he had not abused the funds. Umar ibn Khattab became sick and he needed honey. He stood on the minbar and for 3 days he said, there is a bottle of honey in the Baytul Mal. I need the consent of the general masses if I can use that for my treatment. After 3 days of consecutive permission granted to him, that is the time he decided. There was no form of betrayal. But be it as it may, he made dua to Allah. He said, Allah, teach me something. So the Quran said, وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ صَنْعَةَ لَبُوسٍ لَكُمْ لِتُحْصِنَكُمْ مِنْ بَأْسِكُمْ فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ شَاكِرُونَ. Allah said, we taught him the art of making armor. Divinely we taught him. وَأَلَنَّا لَهُ الْحَدِيدِ, and miraculously we made steel soft for him. So this became a trade, it became a profession, it became an income for him. Then, another thing in the life of Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, one day he made a statement, and that statement bordered with a claim. Now we've got to be very sensitive, and we've got to appreciate the independence of Allah. You know, there are two things, and there is a very fine line between them. One is pride and one is tahdith bin ni'mah. Tahdith bin ni'mah is that we express the bounties of Allah. We make it known. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثِ. We speak about what Allah has given us. But that must not have a twinge or a flavor of self praise or trumpeting oneself being conceited about one's achievements. There is a very fine line between the two. We praise Allah of the privileges He has given us, but not in any way to reflect our own goods. Dawud alayhi salam said, Allah, in my palace, every minute you are worshipped. And he had divided his time that every minute in that palace, someone worshipped Allah. So, per se, the statement was correct, but there was a flavor. There was a flavor of praising oneself, of trumpeting oneself, of taking credibility that Allah, my family, my progeny, we worship you. There is no second in this palace where your name is not taken. Allah said, Dawood, you're correct, but remember, it's because I've made it happen and not because you wanted it to happen. Really, brothers, we cannot claim. We've seen youth whom Allah has guided and favored, and in a split second, when things change, then really you cannot make out that this is that very same young boy. What happens in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make this dua, the riwayat is in Mishkat, first volume. Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qulubana ala ta'atik. Oh, the turner of hearts, keep our hearts focused. Allah, let it not digress. So Sahaba said, Atakhafu alayna ya Rasulallah. O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we've brought iman, we're with you, we won't desert you, don't fear. He said, oh my Sahaba, the claim is there, but it's not as easy as you claim. Inna al-qulub bayna isbahayni min asabi'i al-Rahman yuqallibuha kayfa yasha. Allah can turn the heart of any human at any time, in any direction. So it's not as easy as you claim. So anyway, Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam made this, and Allah told him, oh Dawood, a time will come, I will remind you. And I will test you that what you have said, you will realize it's not because you want it to happen. One day Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam was sitting in his chamber, in his mihram. The Quran speaks about this here in Surah Sa'd. He was making ibadat. So as the day was divided, I mean, how fortunate that at every moment in that palace Allah was worshipped. Subhanallah. Allah forbid, you know, when the World Cup is on, then we got someone watching commentary or listening to commentary all the time. Someone is giving you, you know, live report all the time. So someone is here, but there's someone watching permanently and keeping you updated at every moment. Who fell, who went, who came, what wicket, soccer, whatever it is. Reporting continuously. Fortunate was he every moment. Anyway, he sat down in his mihrab and he was engrossed in the ibadat of Allah. And ya Allah wanted to remind him that don't make a claim. وَهَلْ أَتَاكَ نَبَأُ الْخَصْمِ. And have you heard about the incident of the disputants? إِذْ تَسَوَّرُ الْمِحْرَابِ. When they scaled the wall. إِذْ دَخَلُوا عَلَىٰ دَاوُودَ فَفَزِعَ مِنْهُمْ. When they came barging into the chamber. And they made a sudden, unusual, peculiar presence. فَفَزِعَ مِنْهُمْ. Dawood got nervous on this unusual, uncommon, strange time, came barging and just forced their way in. خَصْمَانِ بَغَى بَعْضُنَا عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَنَا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا تُشْتِطْ وَهْدِنَا إِلَىٰ سَوَائِ الصِّرَاطِ. Dawood, listen to us and be fair in your judgment and don't be unfair and don't incline to any party. We have a problem. إِنَّ هَذَا أَخِي. Here is my brother. لَهُ تِسْعُ وَتِسْعُونَ نَعْجَ. He has 99 sheep. We are in partners in our business. وَلِي نَعْجَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ. And I only have one sheep. فَقَالَ أَكْفِلْنِيهَا وَعَزَّنِي فِي الْخِطَابِ. Instead of giving me some of what he has to balance mine out, he wants my one to make his 100. وَعَزَّنِي فِي الْخِطَابِ. And he's more dominant in speech. So he's very articulate. He's very convincing. So listen, Dawood, leave what you're doing and decide in our matters. Dawood is like, wow, who's this? Where? What happened? Scale the wall suddenly. This wasn't the time to sit with the public matters. So he heard the case, he heard the merits, and then he decided and he says, yes, you're right in what you say. قَالَ لَقَدَ ظَلَمَكَ بِسُؤَالِ نَعْجَتِكَ إِلَىٰ نِعَاجِ. This is exploitation on your part, that you are asking for the one to make yours 100. وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الْخُلَطَاءِ لَيَبْغِي بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَقَلِيلٌ مَّا هُمْ. And this is not exclusive to this partnership, but this is common generally in partnership, that one partner exploits the other. The Prophet ﷺ said, أَنَا ثَالِثُ الشَّرِيكَيْنِ مَا لَمْ يَخُونَا. What a words of consolation. The Prophet ﷺ said, every business in which there is partnership, tell them I am the third partner that joins them in their business venture as long as they don't betray. أَنَا ثَالِثُ الشَّرِيكَيْنِ مَا لَمْ يَخُونَا. As long as you diligently comply, I am with you and I am part of that. I am part of that partnership. وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْخُلَطَاءِ. Anyway, Dawud alayhi salam then resolves the argument and then he settles the matter. And then suddenly it strikes him. After he resolves it, those people disappear. وَظَنَّ دَاوُودُ أَنَّمَا فَتَنَّاهُ وَظَنَّ دَاوُودُ أَنَّمَا فَتَنَّاهُ. Dawud said, hey, you know what? I think this was a scenario that was imposed on me. This was a situation that was brought upon me. This was a hypothetical scene that was painted before me. Those were physical humans that came, but they were angels. And he said, you know what? This is what Allah told me. Where is my claim that I worship Allah every minute? I got so engrossed, I didn't know what hit me from where. He immediately realized that this was a reminder. And Ma'riful Quran, it is written so beautiful, subhanallah. You know, the scholars of tafsir, Allah give them jazai khair. They deduce points from the isharatun nas of the Quran, from the subtle message of the Quran. Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi writes that this is a very effective measure of discipline in someone. They don't verbally engage him, create a situation that he realizes his own mistake and he reflects and repents. Provide him with the opportunity that it appears to him. So Dawood got the message that that what I had claimed to Allah, that I worship Allah, today Allah showed me that really it is not in my hands. And immediately he fell into sajda. Allah said, فَغَفَرْنَا لَهُ ذَلِكَ فَغَفَرْنَا لَهُ ذَلِكَ وَإِنَّ لَهُ عِنْدَنَا لَزُلْفَى وَحُسْنَ مَآبٍ. Immediately we forgave Dawood. And undoubtedly Dawood is amongst our noble servants. So those were just two basic messages from the life of Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. That really what we've seen here today also, it is not our achievement. Continuously, the trait of a believer is that he attributes it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you study the du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he reminds us that our sins were such that we were supposed to have been deprived of what we have. So he said, Alhamdulillahilladhi aqalana yawmana hadha walam yuhlikna bidhunubina. All praise belongs to Allah who let the sun rise upon me and didn't deny me sunlight because of my sin. Then when we drink water, وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْهُ مِلْحًا أُجَاجًا بِذُنُوبِنَا. Allah, I'm grateful, it's palatable, and it's not untasty due to my sins. Study Quran and Hadith, repeatedly he has said this year in his du'as, that, oh Allah, it is your mercy. Then we look at the life of his son, Dawood alayhi salam, son Sulaiman. وَوَهَبْنَا لِدَاوُودَ سُلَيْمَانَ. A coincidence, Allah also speaks of Sulaiman 16 times in the Quran. I only want to mention one incident and a few humble advices for myself and reminders for the Huffaz. وَوَهَبْنَا لِدَاوُودَ سُلَيْمَانَ. Allah said, we bless Dawood with Sulaiman alayhi salam as a son. And Allah favored them both with knowledge. عَلِّمْنَا مَنْتِقَ الطَّيْرِ. They had the knowledge and the speech of the animal kingdom. The animal kingdom, Allah had favored with them with that understanding. In fact, in one riwayat it is coming, it is mentioned that during the time of Sulaiman there was a drought. And as he came out, Sulaiman heard one ant turning to Allah and crying. In Sirat al-Anbiya it is mentioned. And that ant begged Allah and said, Allah, because of the sins of others, Allah, don't deprive us of your rain. Sulaiman heard this and he told his army, you can return. I heard the cry of this ant. And I have the confidence that the supplication of this ant has been accepted. Before we get back, rain will come. So Allah had favored him with the understanding of the speech of the creation from the most insignificant, trivial creature, that of an ant to any other creature. One incident that the Quran speaks of Sulaiman alayhi salam, where we need to also discipline our ego. We need to discipline our ego from time to time. The ego, you know, Hazrat Thani rahmatullah alayhi has written, when the devil rejected and rebelled against Allah, then whenever we do wrong, we attribute it to the devil. The question is, when the devil disobeyed Allah, there was no other devil to mislead the devil. So how did the devil do it? I mean, I say, you know, make me shaitan, man. Shaitan got me. Now who got shaitan? He said, what was it? It was his nafs. It was his ego. There was no other devil to mislead him. He became the devil because of rejecting. And what made him reject? It was this human ego. So anyway, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam was engrossed in preparing some horses for jihad in the path of Allah. And he was admiring his horses. He was impressed by it. I mean, it's an impressive sight. You know, a person looks at his car, he looks at his empire, he looks at his kettle. The Quran speaks about it. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا جَمَالٌ حِينَ تُرِيحُونَ وَحِينَ تَسْرَحُونَ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا جَمَالٌ حِينَ تُرِيحُونَ وَحِينَ تَسْرَحُونَ Allah says, look at these animals in the early morning when they scan the horizon and they cover the meadows. And when they return in the evening and you see them walking across the meadows and the fields, it is pleasing to your eye, it's striking to your heart, it's an impressive sight. You look at across cities, you know, Khalif Harun al-Rashid, when he used to look at the clouds, he used to say, أَمْطِرِي حَيْثُ شِئْتِي فَقَدْ يَأْتِي إِلَيَّ خَرَاجُكُ O clouds, shower your rain wherever you want, your water will fall within my empire. Wherever you go, it will happen within my empire. Such was the kingdom that Allah had given him. So anyway, he was looking at his horses. The Quran said, إِذْ عُرِضَ عَلَيْهِ بِالْعَشِيِّ الصَّافِنَاتُ الْجِيَادِ Excellent, good, you know, bred horses. I mean, those that know horses, they will understand the different types, nature, and qualities, and excellence of horse. The Prophet ﷺ said, Al-khaylu ma'qudun binawasih al-khayl. Anyway, he looked at his horses, and he was, you know, just pacing up and down. And in the process, his Asr Salah got delayed. This is according to the riwayat of Ibn Kathir. His Asr Salah got delayed. And by the time he realized that his engrossment result in delaying his Asr Salah, حَتَّى تَوَارَتْ بِالْحِجَابِ The sun was tripping on the western horizon. He said, hey, what has happened here, man? You know, we were taking stock here and my whole Zohar went. It's now Christmas period and my whole Asr went. Now how did he react? Disciplining himself, instituting a measure against himself, self-disciplinary measures. Again, you know, to do something to better himself, to discipline himself. So he said, رُدُّوهَا عَلَيَّ Bring those horses here. فَطَفِقَ مَسْحًا بِالسُّوقِ وَالْأَعْنَاقِ And then he took a sword, according to the riwayat of Ibn Kathir, فَطَفِقَ مَسْحًا بِالسُّوقِ وَالْأَعْنَاقِ On the necks and on the calves. He started cutting and slaying their legs and slaughtering them. And then he said, now distribute the meat amongst the needy. I do not want to partake of an animal that has resulted in me delaying one order of my Allah. This was not obligatory upon him, mandatory upon him, compulsory upon him. A measure he instituted himself, that this, imagine a man can stand up today and say, this shop has kept me away from Allah. This profession, this game, this entertainment, this has distanced me from Allah. This is the end of it. The Prophet ﷺ was given a shawl by Abu Jaham radiallahu anhu. And he had some pattern and design on it. He put it on, he performed salah. And in the process, to a degree he fell that his attraction or his concentration was distracted because of the design on the shawl. After salah, he called Aisha. He said, Aisha, do me a favor, take this and return this to Abu Jaham radiallahu anhu. This is disturbing my salah. This is disturbing my salah. So this is my humble messages from the life of Dawood and Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, that really let us make a concerted effort to better ourselves. There is a need. وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ Continuously we have to endeavor to improve ourselves, to make a better human out of ourselves. You know, I often say this here, throughout your life you focus on one thing. As a student, and I still consider myself a student, but passionately when I was a former student, I used to make this dua to Allah, that Allah make me a good student to my teacher, to my tutor, and make me a good child to my parent. And devoting or trying, not that I can claim anything, to become a better student and a better child, only to come at that critical juncture, cross the bridge and realize that, you know what, now you're sitting on the other side of the fence, a good student doesn't necessarily make you a good ustad, and a wonderful child doesn't make you a good father. So the effort now to become a good father is altogether again a new effort. And then you move on, then you become a grandfather. Am I a good grandfather? You study the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the only human. I know some relative, very brilliant cricketer, and then his marriage broke up. So then I spoke to the sister and I said, but you know, what a good man. She said, yes, that's the problem. He's only a good cricketer. There isn't any else, any other good. He's only a good cricketer. Wonderful business, terrible father. Brilliant neighbor, hopeless brother. So the effort, there's different dimensions to our life, there's different angles to our life. We have to continuously try and make better humans out of ourselves in every form. Now, Coming back to some humble advice for our young people that have completed today. You know, they say, أَشَدُّ الْحَسْرِ ثَلَاثَةً. On the day of Qiyamah, the greatest regret will be three. رَجُلٌ لَهُ مَمْلُوكٌ صَالِحٌ يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ وَمَوْلَاهُ يَدْخُلُ النَّارِ. Three people, their regret will be the pinnacle. A master who ruled in authority, who had power and dominance, and he had a slave, a weak, mean, humble, simple, ordinary slave. But this slave obeyed Allah. On the day of Qiyamah, the master will go to hell, the boss will go to Jahannam, and the employee will go to Jannah. The worker will go to Jannah. So this will really be the pinnacle of regret for this master or this boss, that I'm the employer, I was in authority, this man worked for me, but look at how things have changed differently. He was an honest man who feared Allah. Today, I'm envying him more than he envies me. That's the first regret. The second regret, رَجُلٌ جَمَعَ الْمَالَ وَمَنَعَ مِنْهُ حُقُوقَ اللَّهِ. A man amassed an empire, gathered wealth, and he did not spend the wealth where Allah wanted him to spend. فَيَمُوتُ, he dies. Then his heirs come and inherit his estate. So they inherit from the late brother, the late father. فَيُنْفِقُونَ مِنْهُ فِي طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ. So they take the inheritance and they spend it constructively. The deceased gathered the money, the heirs inherited the money. The heirs then spend that money constructively. So those who inherited, they spent it constructively. So فَيَنْجُونَ بِهِ وَالَّذِي جَمَعَهُ فِي النَّارِ. The heirs will go to Jannah because they spend the money correctly. The man who amassed the empire, he will go to hell because he did not spend of it correctly. Can you imagine the pain? I sweat, I suffer, my effort, my toiling, I amass the wealth, I deny spending it in the correct way. Others come and inherit, spend it in the right way, make their Jannah, and I suffer in hell. And the third person, رَجُلٌ عَالِمٌ سُوءٌ يُحَدِّثُ النَّاسِ يَنْجُ النَّاسَ بِعِلْمِهِ وَهُوَ يَسِيرُ إِلَى النَّارِ. The third one is a hafiz, who will stand on this musalla, read Quran in a melodious voice, perhaps make an aged man cry, make a young boy cry, but that very young hafiz, unfortunately, while standing here, his hearts are contaminated with strange women. His thoughts are with evil women. His gaze is roaming somewhere else. So others will be attracted to the Quran by virtue of his recitation. Someone told Hassan Basri, rahmatullah alayh, inna fuqaha'ana yaqulun. You know, our jurists are mentioned in our fuqaha. So Hassan Basri said, stop there, bhai. Before you say our jurist, وَهَلْ رَأَيْتَ فَقِيهًا قَطُّ. Have you seen an alim? You're saying our ulama are mentioning. Have you ever seen an alim in your life? Have you ever seen a jurist in your life? إِنَّمَا الْفَقِيهُ الزَّاهِدُ فِي الدُّنْيَا الرَّاغِبُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ الْبَصِيرُ عَلَى ذَنْبِهِ الدَّوَّامُ عَلَى عِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ. Let me first define to you who is a hafiz and an alim, then you can talk about what they mentioning. He said, إِنَّمَا الْفَقِيهُ الزَّاهِدُ فِي الدُّنْيَا. I consider a true scholar one who disinclines to this world. Really, my young boy, you have graduated. I am not even asking you that you must disincline to the world. What I am asking you, at least disincline to that what Allah has made forbidden and unlawful. You know, there was a time where people were told, eat less. Today that time has passed. Eat as much as you want, but make sure it is halal. Really. I'm asking you, don't incline towards that. Don't incline towards that which is haram. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu using a bit harsh language. A bit harsh language on someone. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam halted and he stopped and he held Abu Bakr and he said, Siddiq wa la'an kalla wa rabbil Ka'bah. One side you are Abu Bakr Siddiq, and one side you curse. I swear by Allah, this cannot be found in the same human. My young brother, I say, one side you carry Allah's Quran, and one side you spike your hair, kalla wa rabbil Ka'bah. One side you carry Allah's Quran, and you sleep beyond Fajr, kalla wa rabbil Ka'bah. One side you carry Allah's Quran, and you boldly, arrogantly, emphatically, repeatedly hold the hand of a strange woman, kalla wa rabbil Ka'bah. One side you want to lead us in salah and you walk into a casino, kalla wa rabbil Ka'ba. I swear by the grandeur of the Lord of the Ka'ba, this cannot be found in the same human. Yambaghi li hamil al-Qur'an alla yalghu ma'a man yalghu wala yashu ma'a man yashu. Fudayl ibn Ayyaz said, it does not befit the profile of a hafiz that he engages in the entertainment that others engage in. It's not in accordance with him. It doesn't suit him. The most despicable sight for me is, Allah forbid, when I see a man dressed in the sunnat libas with a beautiful flowing beard, with the amama on his head, and then to find a cigarette in his hand. It's the most despicable sight for me. Forgive me if I'm crude, but I cannot digest this. You know, when I was in Syria, in Damascus, we went into one office, and I seen a nice quotation. If you understand Arabic, you'll appreciate it. He said, زِيَارَتُكَ تَنْفَعُنَا وَتَدْخِينُكَ تَضُرُّنَا فَلَا تُفْسِدِ الزِّيَارَ بِتَدْخِينِ السِّجَارَةِ زِيَارَتُكَ تَنْفَعُنَا. Your visit is welcome. Your cigarette is offensive. Don't destroy the visit by that smoking of yours. فَلَا تُفْسِدِ الزِّيَارَ بِتَدْخِينِ السِّجَارَةِ. One side you are carrying the Quran of Allah, and then you engage in these things. I mean, what a society we have become. That the, you know, the advertising world, for legal reasons, can boldly print on the billboards the harm of cigarettes, that it's a hazard to your health. It's at the detriment of a fetus. Pregnant women should not smoke. Yet not fear a drop in sales. Can you imagine how addicted a nation we've become that they can boldly print the harm loudly and clearly and not fear a drop in sales? Why? Because you're dealing with an addicted nation. My Nabi said in the riwayat of Mishkat, إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ بِجَبَلٍ My Nabi said in the riwayat of Mishkat, إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ بِجَبَلٍ زَالَ عَنْ مَكَانِهِ فَصَدِّقُوهُ Someone tells you a mountain move, tell the man, I believe you, my brother. But someone come and tell you that man gave up smoking, tell him, I don't believe you. What that person said, you know, I was reading the harms of cigarette. It was so bad I had to give up reading. One side you the hafiz, and one side you smoking, my brother, it only brings tears to my eyes. Siddiq wa la'an kalla wa rabbil ka'ba. What is the definition of a hafiz? Who were those that had committed the Quran to memory? What was their life? What was their habits? Someone said, I walked into the masjid, I seen Mu'adh ibn Jabal, فَإِذَا فَتَن, one young man, بَرَّاقَ الثَّنَايَا, bright teeth, radiant face, and he's given hadith. Young people around him, after the dars was over, I kept the man next to me, I said, مَنِ الشَّيْخ? Who's this young man? He said, هَذَا مُعَذُ بْنُ جَبَلْ هَذَا مُعَذُ بْنُ جَبَلْ This is Mu'adh ibn Jabal. One riwayat, he passed away at the age of 33. Yet what privilege didn't the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam afford him? What virtue wasn't mentioned to him? What were the advice of Luqman alayhi salam to his son? And I end with these advices. يَا بُنَيَّ أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ يَا بُنَيَّ أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ وَأَمُّرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ One verse before that. يَا بُنَيَّ إِنَّهَا إِن تَكُ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ فَتَكُنْ فِي صَخْرَةٍ أَوْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ أَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَأْتِ بِهَا اللَّهُ Oh my son, if you perpetrate any crime, you commit any offense, you commit any sin, فَتَكُنْ فِي صَخْرَةٍ in a boulder, in a mountain, أَوْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ or on the earth, أَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ or on the فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ in the heavens or the earth or beneath the earth. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَطِيفٌ بِإِسْتِخْرَاجِهَا خَبِيرٌ بِمَكَانِهَا Allah will remind you of that, O my son. يَا بُنَيَّ أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ O my son, establish salah. Establish salah. You know, that is the key issue in the life of a hafiz. How can he? I have said this, and I don't know if I'm harsh in what I say. I can imagine that a person oversleeps for fajr. It has happened to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But I cannot imagine, and I cannot relate, and I cannot digest, and I don't know how is it possible that a Muslim claiming to be a Muslim goes to sleep and deliberately, consciously, intentionally decides that I will be getting up after the sun has risen. You oversleep, that's humanly possible. But to plan not to get up for Fajr, this is inconceivable for me. And then you carry the Quran of Allah and you do this. يَا بُنَيَّ أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ Oh my son, establish salah. وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ Sort your life out and make an effort to improve the life of others. وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ And encourage others towards good. وَنْهَا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ And prevent and forbid evil. وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ And persevere what comes in your way. إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ That's the noblest of deeds. Oh my son, this is a common question, you know, complain. Allah give me understanding. وَلَا تُسَعِّرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ End of the day, you have become a hafiz. This is one aspect. You've memorized the Quran, you'll impress few people. But the real thing is your character. What is your character? Your reflection of this Quran and the teachings is how you will conduct yourself with akhlaq. Khadija radiallahu anha, Allah privileged her with the union with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It was not after his prophethood. After his prophethood, every woman wanted him. Way before his prophethood. So it was not the privilege of being a Nabi. It was his character that attracted this woman. She said, I don't want any other man, I want this man. Akhlaq. What is it? وَلَا تُسَعِّرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ Don't turn your face away, oh my young boy, in pride and arrogance. وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا And don't walk arrogantly on the earth. وَقْصِدْ فِي مَشِّكْ A moderate walk. One day Aisha radiallahu anha seen one person walking very slow. You know, slow, lethargic, meaningless walk. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, who is this? They said, he is a qari. In Ma'riful Quran, it is mentioned under the commentary of this ayah. He is a qari. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, now what does this qari mean? They said, no, he understands the Quran, so he has a certain privilege and honor. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, so why does that mean he must walk slow in an incorrect way? She then said, Umar ibn Khattab was a greater qari than you and he walked like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Guidance and salvation lies in imitating the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There was no greater qari than him. So even how you walk, this man was a qari, but immediately he was told that your walk is not correct. Eyes will be on you, my young boy. Society will be looking at you. Others will be envying you. You will be seen through a microscope. Your life will be dissected. Your life will be cut up into bits and pieces. Your social, your personal life will be now become transparent to others. So what he said, وَقْصِدْ فِي مَشِّكْ Be moderate in your walk. وَغْضُضْ مِنْ صَوْتِكْ Don't raise your voice. إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ لَصَوْتُ الْحَمِيرِ The worst voice is the brain of a donkey. And if you raise your voice, you're getting closer to that. So really, these are few humble advices. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this year. Make it a means of inspiration for others also. That we also endeavor to study the Quran, explore the depth of the Quran. Really, one verse. Just the other day I was teaching this verse here. Subhanallah. How does Allah speak of what He has done for us and how He has favored us? هَذَا خَلْقُ اللَّهِ See what Allah has created around you. Allah reminds us, اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن ضَعْفٍ ثُمَّ جَعَلَ مِن بَعْدِ ضَعْفٍ قُوَّةٍ ثُمَّ جَعَلَ مِن بَعْدِ قُوَّةٍ ضَعْفًا وَشَيْبًا Allah said, I created you from weakness. When man starts, how feeble, how weak. And then Allah says, I privilege you with strength and might. A human, that child, who doesn't possess the ability of grasping. And as he matures, an ability comes and then he's carrying weights. He's carrying weights. ثُمَّ جَعَلَ مِن بَعْدِ قُوَّةٍ ضُعْفًا But Allah says, don't become arrogant on this strength, because after this strength also follows weakness. After this strength also comes weakness and old age. Those that will preserve their youth in the obedience of Allah, then Allah will preserve their organs in their old age. Those who will use their eyes reciting Quran, Allah will preserve it for them in the latter part of their life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make these young boys an asset to the community, an asset to the Muslim ummah. May Allah favor them with the desired qualities which are expected of an hafiz. May Allah enable them to make the most needed contribution in this hostile environment, that they can come and constructively contribute to the youth that are lying around in different evil places. May Allah reward their parents and this madrasa and take it from strength to strength. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.